Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
This is a special edition of Ask the CIO as part of our special report, A New Era in IT. My guest is Margie Graves, the Deputy Chief Information Officer at the Homeland Security Department, and more importantly for this show, the co-chairwoman of the CIO Council's Innovation Committee. Let's start with some basics. The Innovation Committee of the CIO Council, one of the things that it's looking at is how to not just bring innovation into the government, but how to really create a culture, an environment of innovation. Talk a little bit about the priorities. What are you guys looking at over the next 6 or 9 months or so?
It really falls into three buckets. First of all, we're going to be advancing the executive order for open data. As that came out of the digital government strategy at the end of May, of course, the president signed the executive order with the intent to continue to push for open data transparency, for use of data to create citizen consumption, and developing data architecture standards for new government IT projects, establishing kind of an analysis and a data hygiene framework for agencies to follow in delivering a repeatable proof of concept for opening up their data. So that's the primary focus, is to make sure that we're using data effectively, that we're transparent about our data, and that we're serving it up for use for citizen consumption as well as for information sharing across the federal government. As you know, we've had the PMISE in place for some time, the Program Management Office for Information Sharing Environment, and we, of course, in the federal government have been looking for ways to share our data even up to the high side level in the Intel arena, with appropriate protections, of course, and with appropriate privacy and civil liberties protections. But that's part of the equation, but the innovation side of the equation, of course, is to get as much of that out as possible so that people can use it to develop applications, to use the data to develop approaches. For example, with the innovation fellows at GSA, I'll give you a couple of examples there. We have one innovation fellow who was using data and information that we supplied in order to match developing countries with sources of funding to support their growth process. So that was one area. And we also are using it, of course, in healthcare to share information for patients, to share their information with their providers, and for the patient to be the center of gravity in terms of developing their own care and working with those providers and sharing that information accordingly.
Now, real quick, let me just jump in. You're talking here about the NEAM standard in some ways?
The NEAM standard is part of that equation. We've developed those standards for specific areas, and we, of course, want to develop more. Recently, we added the DoD maritime domain to the NEAM community of interest. And we've also, of course, done a lot of development in law enforcement exchanges and also in healthcare. So, yes, NEAM is definitely a part of that equation. NEAM would be an example of the kind of standards that we're looking to develop so that they can be open and data can be shared.
Okay, and then you were talking also about some other examples around the Innovation Fellows. Was there another one you want to touch upon, or you want to go to talk a little bit more about some of the other priorities of the Innovation Committee?
Well, the last one I wanted to touch upon was there was a presentation also from a gentleman who came to the Federal CIO Council who is looking at spend patterns for base infrastructure, so commodity IT infrastructure, and the spend patterns across the federal government and how we would be able to use that to determine where the most important strategic sourcing opportunities might be, where we're all buying things that are similar and we might be able to leverage the buying power of the government writ large. So that was a very interesting project also. It was more internally focused, but it was also very helpful in terms of being able to see that data, to see it addressed with some kind of an analytical framework that would allow us to draw conclusions from it that would be helpful in the future.
It seems in many ways that when you talk about spend patterns for commodity IT, it seems like this analytical framework, draw conclusions, that is a trend that I'm seeing more and more across the government. Is that part of the Innovations Committee's kind of look as how to give agencies not just better data, but better ways to do analysis as well?
Absolutely. There are really three things we're trying to do. One is the data framework that I mentioned, and that's putting those standards in place, the open standards, the open source, the unified environment so that people can access the data and share it. The second part of the equation is the tools and the analytics. And the tools and the analytics are key to this equation because they're the way we derive conclusions from the data itself. So I gave you that one example, but there are a multitude of others. You look at the way that NOAA derives data from weather patterns and, you know, predictive analytics that can be utilized to show trends in terms of the weather patterns that we're experiencing now. There are just all kinds of scientific and business imperatives that can be addressed by using the right tools in the analytics. Now that we're getting a handle on how we label, tag, secure, and share data, and then we tie that back to people who can access it either in an open source environment where it's open to the public or with the appropriate protections, i.e. we give the right identity management attributes to an individual, why they would need to see certain data and if they should have access to it. And we match that up with the data itself. Once you've done that, then it's really about empowering the individual to do the analytics and to derive conclusions, both from a business standpoint, from an efficiency standpoint, from a scientific standpoint, any kind of question that you want to ask. And I can give you an example of something that we're doing with in DHS. We're calling it the Management Cube. And essentially what we're doing is we're pulling contracts data, financial data, technology data, human resources data across all of the CXO communities. We are pulling in that data, and we're asking ourselves questions, who, what, when, where, why, how, about our environment. So, for example, if you want to know who are the individuals that you have in a certain region in the United States that belong to DHS that are in the path of a hurricane, then you can ask that question because you can look at the data across all of those domains and be able, through analytics, appropriate tools and analytics, to be able to pull those data into an equation and answer the question.
I think the Management Cube is a fascinating example. I mean, I know Raphael Boris, the acting deputy secretary at DHS, talked about this at the ELC conference, which you are the co-chairwoman of. Let me pull us back, though, for a second to the CIO Council. Are you guys putting out tools? Are you looking at, okay, where are the tools, common tools that everyone can use, or are you putting together a set of standards that tools should address? How is the CIO Council looking at tools and analytics?
It would really be both. To the extent that we could provide those standards and the environments that I was talking about, both in the tool area also, the tools and analytics. It's analytic frameworks, more to the point, and then the tools that would fit in it would actually go back to what I talked about earlier, is where does it make sense? Where we're all kind of asking the same questions and using the same kind of analytics, that we might actually put together strategic sourcing contracts that could be used writ large across the federal government. But that aside, you could, by putting the standards in place themselves, you could have multiple procurements that would be applied to that. So it's really both pathways. It's where it makes sense for us to have a center of gravity where we're all using something in common. Then, of course, we'll consider that for strategic sourcing initiatives.
We have to take a break. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. As part of our special report, A New Era in IT, my special guest is Margie Graves, the deputy CIO at the Homeland Security Department and co-chairwoman of the CIO Council's Innovation Committee.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio 1500.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. As part of our special report, A New Era in IT, my special guest is Margie Graves, the deputy CIO at the Homeland Security Department and the co-chairwoman of the CIO Council's Innovation Committee. Let's jump over to the third part of this equation. We have the data framework, we have tools and analytics, and number three.
Number three would be public-private partnerships. As it was stated in the President's Management Agenda, we really want to leverage the ability of the government executives to work with academia and to work with industry in the appropriate manner, of course, with the rules that reside around that, particularly using FACAs and also how you would appropriately engage with academia to encourage some of our problems to be solved by that interaction. So, for example, if we're clear and we're concise and we're very strategic in where we're going in terms of the federal government writ large and what we want to see in terms of products, solutions, and technologies brought to the fore from public sector and private partnerships, then we should be able to accelerate our launch into that realm. So, for example, I'll give you something that was very effective. When we put together the 9.1 milestone for the digital government strategy, basically the security architecture for mobility, if we hadn't done that, then we wouldn't have had that effective conversation with industry. We had several industry forums where after we had worked with NIST to develop the standards, we went forward and we shared that with industry and we said there are multiple ways and multiple technologies that could be applied to achieving these security controls. And we would like to see you come forward with your best effort in those arenas. And I think we encourage them to see a market for their product and to understand what our issues were and what we were trying to solve. And it was a very effective conversation. And again, it was by setting a standard and being very clear and concise and communicative about where we're going and what we're trying to achieve.
All right, so a lot going on in the Innovation Committee, a lot of pieces to this. When you look at the short-term impact, one of the things that a lot of people are talking about is this change in government, the way it's being moved from this old stodgy, you know, we got to do big projects to this more agile and more up-to-date in terms of, you know, mobile and things of that nature. How do you see the government changing from an Innovation Committee's perspective, the work that you're doing? How do you play a role in making that change happen a little more quickly?
Our role in that would be to give people these platforms, these open platforms where they can actually experiment. We're putting one together within DHS called the Car Wash, where we're actually putting together a platform that looks at code in terms of quality, in terms of security, and in terms of 508 compliance. It's already built into the platform so that you can check in code and you can check it against those standards and imperatives and must-haves as you're continuing your development process. So to whatever extent we do that at the federal government level, which we're talking about doing, we're talking about pairing with GSA and also with others who are doing similar projects to try to do something on a government-wide basis that would provide such a platform. And as long as you can provide those sandboxes with the appropriate controls around them and a place for people to safely experiment and then encourage that innovation, encourage people to solve the problems, pose those challenges, put those questions out. You can put those questions out to our own employees here in the federal government and provide those platforms for them to work on those issues. And you can provide those questions out to the public writ large, and you can ask them to innovate in those arenas, in their own environments. So it can really go both ways. As long as you know, prize challenges, which we've done for some time now, and crowdsourcing of solutions is an example of that also. So there are really two pathways to do that, and we're going to try to accelerate in both.
One of the things about the Innovation Committee is there's so much out there on the plates already for agencies. There's the mobile strategy, the shared services strategy, and then there's new cybersecurity stuff coming out. How is the Innovation Committee looking at all these things that agencies have to do, all these either mandates or what some would say unfunded mandates? How does the Innovation Committee helping them accomplish this and be successful?
The major thing that we're trying to do is understand exactly where we can work as a community to bring forward unified solutions, particularly in the shared services area. The major thing that we're approaching, you know, that I spoke to when I talked to you about how we're combining budget aspects and procurement aspects along with the technology aspects, that's really where we're going. We're trying to pull all three of those, the three-legged stool, together, because none of it works if you don't have all three of those elements working together. And in order to support shared services, in order to support mobility, and all of the other initiatives that have come to the fore, including data center migration and consolidation, you have to have all three of those working together. So I believe that the Innovation Committee is going to focus on where we can look at innovative business models. So how do we look across the federal government and devise different procurement strategies and, more importantly, funding strategies that would support the collective adoption of shared services? So, for example, if you are a shared services provider and you are coming forward with a set of innovative initiatives that could be used federal-wide, how do we get the procurement process to work and the MOU process to work and the funding process to work to support individual customers being able to take advantage of those shared services? So, for example, in the GSA space, we're now working on something called the Cloud Broker Model, and you may have heard of this. It's an initiative that GSA is pursuing that would allow individual agencies to avail themselves of a contract that would set up a broker that in turn would have multiple cloud offerings available to it, and that broker would act on behalf of each agency to be able to access those multiple vendors in the cloud to put together a portfolio of services that make sense for them. And then the procurement itself would be kind of pre-competed and would allow for competition within the vehicle itself. And more importantly, it would give people choices. And it would encourage that continuous competition so that the vendors that are in that model would constantly be incentivized to do their best work and to bring their best and innovative technologies to the federal government.
The cloud broker model is, I think, a very interesting example. I think there's also other examples around security. I think we've seen it with, the information security line of business. We've seen the shared service model around, you know, financial management, HR. Is there something from an innovative perspective that you guys are looking at, whether it's an MOU related to be innovative with MOUs or innovative with funding? Because I think those two are the hardest things, how to get the funding so we used to fund it this way, now we have to fund it that way, and that's always a big change. What's the committee doing to kind of help ease that path?
We're working at federal-wide level, particularly with Joe Jordan, and looking at looping in OFPP. I think you've heard him speak at several open forums where he's said that we need to crack this code. And the biggest thing that we need to crack is the obstacle of moving money between agencies and having perhaps a portfolio-wide setup where you can fund a portfolio at a federal government level and then have agencies participate in that. This is something that is a little new and different. It probably is something that's going to have to be discussed with Congress. It is not something that has been tried before, to my knowledge. So I think people, though, are open to it. If it does achieve the ultimate goal, which is consolidation, efficiencies, being able to use your next dollar effectively. I would imagine, since Congress is consistently encouraging the government to operate more like a business, this would be something that they would consider.
We have to take a break. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. As part of our special report, A New Era in IT, my special guest is Margie Graves, the Deputy CIO at the Homeland Security Department and co-chairwoman of the CIO Council's Innovation Committee.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also,
that bid protest on the DoD contract.
Right, but did you know
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about
OMB's digital strategy?
Jeez, how do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know, because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. As part of our special report, A New Era in IT, my special guest is Margie Graves, the Deputy CIO at the Homeland Security Department and the co-chairwoman of the CIO Council's Innovation Committee. One of the things about shared services that I think you guys are going to probably have to focus on is the idea of, it's not just a CIO, but it's the CFO. You mentioned Joe Jordan, OFPP, the acquisition folks. Are you guys also meeting with the other councils, working with them to make sure everyone's on the same page around what does shared services mean and how could it work and what are the steps that are needed to come to agreement on?
Yes, absolutely. And I'll say that that's being driven primarily, and we're staying very connected to this, to make sure that we support the implementation of what comes out of the president's management agenda. Particularly, there are aspects of the human resources side of the equation, getting the right skill sets in place, encouraging individuals to participate in these new business models, having folks trained in this arena so that they can understand how to implement. One of the most difficult things that we've had to do in the last couple of years is to implement the agile methodology in the development realm of IT, knowing that the measurements and the approaches that we've normally taken in the past, that we put in SLAs with contracts and the measurements that we've normally taken in order to convince ourselves and the procurement community that what we ask for is truly being delivered, and this is a very important part of the equation because that's the way you manage contracts. If you're going to change the way that you develop different IT solutions, then you definitely have to change the way that you measure it in terms of having that fit the agile methodology. And it's a different set of measurements. For example, in testing, normally you would have operational testing that would occur at the end of some sort of a development cycle. When you are in the agile methodology, you're continuously developing and you're continuously integrating, and so therefore you have to be continuously testing. And you have to change your SCLC, and you have to change your contract measurements, you have to change what the definition of success is in order to encourage the adoption of new approaches. And that's what the Innovation Committee will be striving to do.
In many sense, Agile is a great example of the innovation that has to happen in government. The idea of agile development is not necessarily new. I remember writing stories back in the late 90s called modular contracting, and it's the same approach, but I think it's taken on a new importance, but it's also taken on a new focus because of things like cloud and APIs and stuff that can make development happen more quickly. There's been memos from OMB or guides from OMB about agile development. Is the Innovation Committee working on anything specific to kind of take agile to the next step to help agencies? Okay, you're at maturity level one, now you want to go to maturity level two.
Our approach will be to work with our procurement community to define exactly what those sets of measurements would be. If you are not measuring according to the waterfall development methodology, i.e. where you have a set of requirements and you basically have an FRD, functional requirements document, and you go through and you test against each one of those functional requirements. In actuality, when you're working in Agile, you are doing that, but you're doing that on an instantaneous and continuous basis. So our goal would be to design approaches and measures that would go into those contract vehicles that would support and encourage that.
One other thing about the Innovation Committee, we talked about working with maybe some of the other councils, the CFO, CAO, Human Resources, the CHICO Council. What about the other committees within the CIO Council, the Portfolio Management? I talked to Bernie Mazur recently about the Portfolio Management Committee, and then also obviously there's the Security and Privacy Committee. Give me a sense of how you guys all work together.
We do see the cross-reference. So for example, when we put together the 9.1 security baseline for mobility, it was intended to be worked through the ICMC, which is the protect pillar of the CIO Council, the way we are organized today. But in actuality, what does that do? It gives you one of those baselines and standards that I talked about with you earlier that allows for the adoption of the innovative technology, specifically mobility. So, for example, if we're pursuing mobility in the innovation space, which we definitely are, then there are aspects of mobility that have to be supported by the appropriate security. And the security approach and the security standards and baselines would be developed through the ICMC in order to enable the adoption of that innovative technology, because it has to have a set of security requirements that are met around it in order for the government to be able to adopt. And getting those capabilities in place and understanding that they have to be addressed so that we can move forward is something that's very important. And on the portfolio side of the equation, how we would work together in that arena, if you are looking at specific capabilities that you want to come to develop, and let's take mobility as an example since we're already on that topic. In the portfolio arena, what we would have to do is look at the way that we're delivering computing services today and understanding that we're moving to, if we aren't already in, I would argue that we're already in, a mobile world, and that's the way that people do their work today, then how do you transition to that new world from some legacy positions, and how do you effectively do that for each agency? And each agency will be different because each agency has a different mission space. Each agency has a different set of data, and the protections that would be surrounding that data would be different depending on the mission. And how you would adopt mobile technologies would be varied. And so you have to put the use cases together in order to understand what that means across the spectrum, and that's exactly what you would do in portfolio work.
So you're talking a lot about the going forward, some of the short term. When you look at challenges, when you look at trying to move forward in the long term, you know, in 2, 3, 5 years from now, when the Innovation Committee looks back on what they've accomplished, do you see certain roadblocks that you're going to have to need help or look to overcome to kind of move this kind of vision forward?
I think what we've got to do is we've got to take that long-term view and make sure that we understand that the funding and contractual arrangements that support that long-term view have to be protected and have to be supported. And that's the only way we're going to get this done. And I would argue that as we gain efficiencies and gain innovative approaches from encouraging people to think out of the box, then we should be able to funnel that funding back into the continuous support of these kinds of initiatives. My concern is that we have to have it be sustainable. And in order for it to be sustainable, then we have to have it become self-fulfilling prophecy and kind of self-funding. That would probably be more palatable, you know, within the current environment we are in terms of the sequestration impacts and the budgets being constrained.
All right, very good. Margie Graves, thank you very much for taking the time.
Thank you.
That's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. As part of our special report, A New Era in IT, my special guest was Margie Graves, the Deputy CIO at the Homeland Security Department and the co-chairwoman of the CIO Council's Innovation Committee. You can find all our stories and interviews as part of our special report, A New Era in IT, on federalnewsradio.com.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.